I'm really, the Lord was really working with me on this message about patience. And, you know, as is typical when we're giving a sermon or a message, obviously the Lord is dealing with us first and what's going on in our hearts and what's going on in our spiritual lives and our spiritual growth. And it has been such a loving process, but it's been a challenging process because patience is hard. You know, and as I was being led through developing this sermon, every once in a while I would just think to myself, like, okay, I need to say something to like lighten this up a little bit because patience is really hard. But the thing is patience is hard. It's difficult to show, it's difficult to have. When we're showing it as God intended it to be, it can be very difficult. Doing it His way takes us way beyond our own capabilities, way beyond our own efforts. So this characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit, it is by the Spirit that we carry out, that we demonstrate, that we show patience. So if we revisit our foundational scripture in Galatians 5, 22 through 23, and it reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." So before we even start to dive a little further into this word, let's all take a deep breath. And let it go. And, you know, when we were at staff week a few weeks ago planning for the coming year, the facilitator has set us leaders down to do a heart check with us. And the way that he did that was the way that we should always check our heart. He used the word. And one of the things that he mentioned to us is that when we're using God's word as a barometer to gauge what our spiritual condition is, if we get feelings of condemnation or feelings of shame, things like, "I'll never get this right. I'll never measure up. This is too hard." Those messages aren't from the Lord. They're from the enemy of our soul, the accuser. The accuser, that's what he does. God doesn't shame us. He invites us into being taught, showing us where our behavior sometimes doesn't quite measure up. Because sometimes our behaviors can be wrong, but we're not wrong. Our existence is not wrong. Let's read 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, 14 and 16 together to kind of set us in the mindset of why we're going through these scriptures today. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." That doesn't sound like shame to me. Amen. So let's begin with defining what patience is. The Lord inspired two words in Greek to describe the two types of patience discussed in His word. Now, while we will primarily focus on one of the words today, it's important to know how both these two words are connected. And I'm going to show you that in a moment. But the two words that we're going to focus on today are hupomene and macrothumia. Hupomene means having patience or endurance, but in circumstances. And that type of patience that's exercised in circumstances is inspired by hope. Macrothumia, on the other hand, means patience or forbearance. It's also associated with long-suffering. And that's patience that we exercise with people. And because it's patience that we exercise with people, it's inspired by mercy. Now, these two words for patience, though different in what or to whom they apply, they are connected in that it is often through learning patience through circumstances that we learn how to show patience towards people. So let's read 1 Thessalonians 1:3 together to get an example of what hupomene, or patience in circumstances, can be. Let's read together. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here in Paul's opening statement to the church at Thessalonica, he's praising them for their steadfast endurance, or their patience in circumstances, in the face of persecution that they were receiving as they embraced and proclaimed Jesus Christ. Now the Thessalonians, they were a young church, and they were actually catching persecution from all different directions. They were getting persecuted by the unbelieving Jews in the area, and they were also getting persecuted by their Gentile neighbors, because by proclaiming Christ and advocating the things that Christ taught, they were perceived to be coming against Caesar and his kingship. They were perceived to be coming against the pagan economy that was at work there. So with them being a young church as they were facing all types of persecution. They were receiving verbal assaults or slander. They were being boycotted and experiencing loss of business. And they were even getting harassment from the actual city officials, the people who are supposed to be protecting them. And they even experienced some violence. Now, even though they faced such tough opposition, especially being a young church, their hope inspired them to endure or be patient in these circumstances of persecution. Now, when we talk about hope in this context that's shared here in 1 Thessalonians, we're not talking about hope in the way that we think about it in our modern context, you know, being optimistic or having a positive outlook on life. When we talk about hope here, the word is elpis. And this type of hope is in an expectation that's based on confidence, or it's a hope that's based on a certainty that a thing will happen. So this church at Thessalonica, they had total belief in Jesus as the Messiah. And they had total belief that he would return one day. Now, their belief in his resurrection and his coming return was total. And it is that hope and that belief of what they knew and what they know is going to happen that gave them the power to endure that persecution that they were experiencing from the Jews and their Gentile neighbors. Now, the word macrothumia, and this is the word of patience that we're going to focus on more today, it's translated as being associated with long-suffering with or forbearing people. So in a word study that was developed by Beth Moore, and I believe Natalie shared it in the overview introduction sermon for this series on the fruit of the Spirit, she described this type of patience or forbearance as showing restraint before proceeding with action. And I just thought that was a funny way, a nice calm way that she explained that, showing restraint before proceeding with action. And I was sitting there thinking of different examples, and all of a sudden in my mind, I could see myself going, I'm showing restraint in the face of getting ready to show some action to you. That's how I heard it when I read it. But in today's sermon, we're going to explore what it means to show self-restraint, to hold off on avenging oneself, to whom self-restraint is shown, and how we are able to do it. Amen? All right. So I shared earlier that macrothumia, or forbearance, or patience, is inspired by mercy. And obviously, that kind of makes sense when you make the connection that mercy inspires us to show patience towards people, because we don't show mercy to things, we show mercy to people. Now, when you think of mercy, who is it that we usually associate with mercy first? Jesus, yes, amen, the Lord. You passed, you got 100, we're done. We can go home now. But for the first point today that we're going to cover, it is the Lord's mercy results in patience for all. Let's read together Romans 3:25. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance, he had let the sins committed beforehand unpunished. So God didn't ignore or condone sins that were committed before Christ's atonement. The penalties for past sins were held in suspense, if you will, until Christ's one perfect sacrifice. Now, when Jesus died, he paid the full penalty for every sin, every past sin, every present sin that was being committed at that time, and for every future sin that we would participate in ourselves. God is holy and he's righteous. In his forbearance or his patience, as he let prior sins go unpunished, this wasn't a denial of justice or making things right, but it was part of his greater plan for satisfying justice while extending mercy to all people through Jesus' death on the cross. God showed patient restraint. Now, this example of divine forbearance or divine patience is an example of God's patient character. So our subpoint 1A today, I want you to remember that God's divine patience gives us space or time to turn to him. So thinking back to before we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I know for me as I was going through this lesson and the movie that was flashing through my head of my life before I gave my life to him, and just thinking about, matter of fact, I think one of the ways that really impressed on me about God's patience with me is when I first got sober 14 and a half years ago. And I remember just going through the 12-step program I'm in, and you go back and look at your past behavior and how you've hurt people and how people have hurt you. And I got these pictures of me just running wild and being crazy and all that kind of stuff. And looking back with my saved eyes, even in those crazy situations I found myself in, I knew that the Lord was protecting me back then. Obviously, he wasn't condoning my behavior, but I could see his fingerprint over my life. Every bad decision I made, every bad place I went. Now, sometimes he lifted that hand a little bit and he goes, okay, he needs to feel a little pain because he's going to go crazy if you don't give him. But, you know, sin has consequences. But the fact that he gives me space or gave me that space or time to turn to him and that he continues to do that, when he does that for us, he calls us to extend the same patience and forgiveness to others. Sounds crazy sometimes, though, doesn't it? Because even as I'm saying that, I'm seeing the wheels turn and people are thinking of that one person that we don't want to forgive. And I had this experience this morning as I was going over my notes today. And this thing came to me that I hadn't thought about in forever. And when I was a young recruit in the Navy, I went to the Navy doctor to get checked out this one time, and I had forgotten it for years. I remembered it sometime before, but it came back to my mind this morning, and there was a doctor that abused me while he was examining me. And a long time ago, I let it go. You know, it's not something that sits in my heart and comes back in my head on a regular basis, but this morning, as the Lord was talking to me, he asked me, did you ever forgive him? And I realized that I hadn't, that I never sat down and just really thought about the situation. And I was convicted in my heart, again, not from a place of condemnation or shame, but this was this opportunity that the Lord was inviting me into, an opportunity I wasn't expecting to have this morning. But as I sat there and I started praying for this doctor, and I started praying for the other victims, because I'm sure I wasn't the first one, I prayed for his salvation, and I prayed for his repentance. And it changed something in my heart that I didn't even know I was holding in the corner of my heart. So as I was listening to this word in that Romans 3:25, where it says, he did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. I don't know what's happened with this doctor. I pray that he truly has found Jesus and has repented, is living a saved life, and that good things have come to him. But when I look at this and I think about what God is calling us into, when he calls us to extend the same patience and forgiveness to others, it's not just something that he's saying. You know, when I think about what he allowed Jesus to go through, to die for our sins, that means it covers every sin. It covers every kind of sin, no matter how great, how small. And we're all subject to that, and he calls us to that. God's mercy and forgiveness, his patience, is about repentance. Let's read 2 Peter 3:9 together. Thanks for keeping me on point, Kermit. I appreciate it. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. See, what appears to us to be a delay of justice or making things right is in fact long suffering, a form of patience with people. The phrase not slow in keeping his promise is in fact an example of his long suffering with us. And as I was thinking about, I kind of started thinking about time span, and I think about the billions of people who are on the earth today, and I think about the billions of people who were on the earth millennia ago, and the billions of people who are going to be on earth from time infinitum until Jesus comes back. And I'm thinking about, and I thought about that doctor that I was forgiving today. But then I thought about Jesus and the billions and billions and billions of people that he forgives on a daily basis. The things that we do that he forgives us for on a daily basis. So I looked at this hard example about what happened with this doctor. And before I continue, I want to be clear that just because we forgive, that doesn't mean that we have to even be remotely okay with what people do to us. And people don't have to be remotely okay with what it is that we do to them. Sin always carries consequences. So even though there is forgiveness and it's based on mercy and it's based on God's divine patience and his love and it's wonderful, we still pay the price for the sins that we commit. But he loves us so much. So I want you to also remember that with God's mercy, on a subpoint, to just remember that he doesn't want anyone to face eternal ruin. And his goal is that everyone should repent. So for us today, God's allowing of ongoing evil is not a result of his absence, but it's a demonstration of his merciful timing. And when we write here that his mercy gives significance to our evangelism, when we think about what Jesus has done, what God has allowed to happen in terms of forgiving billions and billions and billions of people, and how critical it is for him to create this space and this time for people to come to him, that should inform how we evangelize to other people. When I go out and I see people getting on my nerves or doing the wrong things and all that sort of thing, and we're gonna see it in here, we're gonna see it out in the community, but there should always be something at the base of my heart That's thinking as Christ thought, exhibiting Christ-like behavior as I'm addressing other people. And that should change and have a significant impact on how I evangelize to others. Amen? All right. So we talked about God's mercy that leads us and others to repentance. Let's take a look at other ways in which we can show patience. And as tough as that one is about patience towards repentance and salvation, we're still stuck in this everyday world, right? So a lot of times, the patience that we have to show to one another on a daily basis, that can be almost tougher in some ways, in terms of not tougher literally, but tougher in that this is where the rubber hits the road. This is where we are meeting the Lord every day. As you meet me, as I meet you, as we meet people out in the community. And I think one of the things I just, and I say it every time I get up here, because it truly is a blessing to me, is one of the things that amazes me about the work that the Lord is doing is every time I look at this congregation, and it just still blows my mind every time that there are so many different people from so many different backgrounds. We got different education levels, different financial levels, and just to see the work of the Holy Spirit in place here. And people out in the community recognize that as well. We hear over and over and over again people being amazed that this group of different people have come together to work together. But it's all about Jesus's great commission and the work of the Holy Spirit. So let's read Matthew 28:19. I wanted to say that because as I kept thinking about this, I keep thinking, wow, what a great job we did. You know, being all different and getting along together. And I was like, David, nah, that's not us, dude. That's the Holy Spirit. But let's read Matthew 28:19 together about Jesus issuing the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. To make disciples is to carry Jesus' message beyond cultural and geographic boundaries and to guide others into a transformational relationship with him. And when I made that connection, that's what gives me such happiness and joy about seeing us work together as a church inside the building and outside the building when we're working with our community. As we're doing that thing, we are taking Jesus' message beyond our cultural differences. We're taking the Lord's message beyond our geographic differences, wherever we've come from, and taking that out to the world. And I just really appreciate you all making yourself available to the Lord to do those things. But transformation takes work, doesn't it? Amen. So let's read Ephesians 4:1-2 together, please. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with another in love. So our second point this morning is love compels patience with others. Here in Ephesians, Paul is encouraging the church at Ephesus to be unified and to grow in spiritual maturity alongside each other. We've been called to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ himself, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of heaven and earth, and everything in the universe. So when we come to declare with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we become saved and become a part of the family of God, the body of Christ. Now, living the life worthy of the calling we have received is a life of unity with our brothers and sisters in Christ. As we grow in our relationship with the Lord and one another, we must recognize that we are growing and maturing at different rates and at different times and at different levels. So Paul, he encourages us to be humble and gentle with one another and to wait patiently as each person grows and develops. And that is the hard thing about patience. It's the waiting. We live in a time and place where life conveniences and instant connections like social media makes waiting really hard. And in a time where there are so many divisions in society, our capacity to put up with, because that's what forbear means, is to put up with, that's a hard thing to do in today's society. Do any of you enjoy putting up with people? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't enjoy putting up with people, but it's something that we have to do. And in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 14, I'll read that actually. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Warn those who are idle and disruptive. Does that sound like fun? Nah, that's not fun. But that's sometimes what we have to do as a church family when you're dealing with people from all different types of backgrounds and upbringings with different perspectives on life and politics and whatever. We bring those perspectives, we bring our perspectives, we bring our hurts, we bring our individual habits, we bring our individual hang-ups, we bring it all together. And when we do that, we are going to experience some clashes and disruptions, right? Yeah, amen. So when I went on this family trip on Friday, this 800-mile round trip over the last couple of days, I was like, Lord, why in the world would you lead me to go do something like this when you know I have to preach the sermon the next day? And if any of you know me in here, I like to rest to get prepared to do things. But I tell you, I drove down with two of my cousins that live up here in this area. And one's a reverend, and I'm a student in the ministry. And the other, we're not exactly sure where his faith walk is right now. But the whole time we're driving down, my cousin, who's a reverend, he's asking me questions about my journey through being a ministry student, and he's offering me all this encouragement and good word, and it's amazing. Then we get down there, and this is all guys, by the way. So it was led for us guys to get together. That's not something that we normally do in our family. But as I'm down there, and we're together, and we're just having these great conversations. We're encouraging one another. We're lifting one another up. But as I'm looking around the room, I'm looking and I'm like, boy, I remember some of these sins we committed towards each other. You know, I remember boundaries that were crossed, or I remember times of not speaking to one another and all those kinds of things. And everybody's at these different levels, and now we're down there and we're talking to our uncles who are old deacons in the church. And one of my cousins, we're having dinner together by ourselves, and he's telling me about this calling that he has to become a deacon in the church. You know, and I'm looking at all of us guys in three generations, and there's a fourth generation represented as well. And I'm just thinking about, in real time, the Lord sharing me, look at the patience that you all have shown to one another over dozens and dozens and dozens of years. And I'm sitting there, people I used to rip and run with, you know, we're talking about the goodness of the Lord and how Jesus is changing our lives. And we're talking about our individual churches and what's going on there. And it's like, is this us? Like, are you kidding me? You know, and I think about the patience that the Lord just instills in us, and that he does here in this church, that we're able to walk alongside one another. And man, I have faced some of my biggest, like, relational challenges in this church, but it's been good. You know, it's been growing me, it's been maturing me. This is like the first time that I've gone to a church, except for my family church, where I haven't let conflict run me out the door. You know, usually, you know, I talk about the church hurt I've experienced before, and I'm like, dude, you caused some church hurt, you know, when you left people without explanation, you know? And to just see what the Lord is doing in our lives and the opportunity that he is giving us to live out this life of demonstrating patience and just growing and maturing is just an amazing thing. So on, Kermit, I'm going to tell you slide 15 because I just kind of jumped all over the place. But I wanted to point out a few points here. And the first point is humility. When we're talking about divine patience that the Lord puts in us, humility allows us to recognize our own sin and the mercy that the Lord has shown to us. When he asks us to be gentle, his mercy towards me should encourage me to give a soft answer to someone who might be struggling or growing in a certain area. Or for me, often the answer is, David, stop talking. Okay, Lord. You're great. Let's keep going. And patience. When we can see our own faults or our own need for growth, it gives us the capacity to put up with others. And one of the things I've also noticed is that when the Lord is calling me to be patient with somebody else to help build them up, he's usually asking me to be patient so he can take something out of me. And I just love how he does that, going back and forth. And that's how we work with one another. You know, while I might be being patient with Earl, I'm gonna call you out just because you're new. And he said it was his first time, you know. If I'm being patient with him, Earl's also being patient with me. I remember there was this, I used to facilitate the Wednesday night class, and I am not the most patient person. So people would say stuff and do things, and I would look at Earl and his wife, Sabrina, sometimes, and just kind of like look at them. And they would look back with a knowing glance, and they would give me that patience I needed. So I didn't say the thing that was truly on my mind. And I just love how the Lord works between us with all of that. And then the last thing, and certainly not the last thing, but the first thing is love. As he loved us in our own offenses, that his love should compel us to want to be patient towards other people. Amen? So when we think about patience with others, we always want to remember that patience waits, patience restrains, patience puts up with, and patience loves. Amen? Amen? All right. So we talked about patience unto repentance and patience with others. I am compelled to share that we also should be patient with ourselves. Amen? Because I don't know about you, but I often can be my own worst critic. I can tell you, if you notice something off in my character about me, I've noticed 5, 6, or 7 other things at the same time. And I can tell you, I can get down on myself when, if I experience old habits, hurts, or hangups, or I think about when I rededicated my life to the Lord. I was 43 years old. So that every week, at least once, I have a thought in my head, oh man, I'm so far behind. I'm so like, you know, I missed this, I missed that, I get down on myself, and I always feel like I'm playing catch up or that I don't measure up. Let's read Colossians, the 3rd chapter, the 12th through 13th verse together. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. I can be compassionate with others. I can be gentle and patient with others. But sometimes I struggle with being gentle and patient with myself. Do any of you experience that at times? Yeah, I didn't think I was the only one. But one thing that I learned here at Bridge is to treat my own spiritual journey with the same care that I show to other people's spiritual journeys. I now give myself space and time to make mistakes. I now give myself a little bit more compassion. So when I'm struggling with something, I'm much more apt now to go to another person and let them know, hey, Pastor Rick, can I talk to you for a second? Yeah, this week didn't go so great. And then that being able to tell him how I'm struggling and what areas I need help in, he can give me some encouraging words. And now I'm dealing with my shortcomings, not from a place of condemnation or shame, but I'm dealing with my shortcomings or where I fall short, oh, that's shortcomings, in a way that is encouraging and is life-giving.
And Pastor Rick can do the same.
And Pastor Rick does the same. Amen. Thank you so much. So I'm going to read to you 1 Timothy 1:12 through 16. And I invite you to close your eyes if you like. This is a message about the Lord's grace to Paul. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. If Jesus is willing to show patience with us, how could we not show patience and mercy towards ourselves? Whatever hurt, habit, hang-up you are struggling with, I want you to know he loves you. He knows it's hard. We love you, and we know it's hard because we go through some of the same very, very same things. And when we don't understand, we will learn. And we will support one another as we walk this life of discipleship and transformational relationship with Jesus. So the development of patience in us is the working of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to make sure we know that it's not something that we can pick up and exercise ourselves. And this begins with surrendering to him. It is more about us surrendering to and embracing the patience of the God who dwells within us. In that surrender and practice, our own patience will develop, but it starts with recognizing that we don't have that kind of forbearance within ourselves. But we have access to it through the person of God, through the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Let's read James 1, 2 through 5 together, please. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I love how they put it in the King James Version. And it reads, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That the trying of your faith worketh patience, or hupomene. Remember, I shared earlier in the beginning of today's message that this type of patience speaks to enduring through circumstances. It is the trying of your faith or life circumstances that develops patience. It's hard to do, but I ask you not to run from it. Part of the abundant life is the opportunity and invitation that God gives to us and calls us into learning and growing to be more like him. Discipleship, it is an abundant life when we learn patience by the work of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. The bottom line for today's message is, let patience have her perfect work. Amen. Thank you.